Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Our text this morning will come right in the middle of Ephesians chapter 5 as we continue to walk through this household code that the Apostle Paul lays out for the church. I've been watching the NBA finals this week, and I've decided that I would like to dunk a basketball. It looks kind of fun. What I'd actually like to be able to do is dribble down the court and bring the ball behind my back and take one giant step from the free throw line and soar up above the rim, smile for the camera, and then throw the basketball down. And so if anybody knows any of the coaching staff with the Thunder, I'd like to get some coaching. I think if I had some professional-grade coaching to tell me exactly how to do that, I might be able to dunk a basketball. Do you think I could? I have more than a how-to problem, don't I? Even if I knew how, I couldn't do it. Is that what you're telling me? When it comes to marriage and family, we have more than a how-to problem. You know, there's a whole industry in the United States of books and videos and helps about how to be a husband or be a father or be a parent. But the reality is, even if you knew how, you could not. Because you, like me, when it comes to family, have more than a how-to problem. You have a problem with capacity. You have a problem with power. And the Apostle Paul is going to expose and deal with that this morning. For his glory, under his authority, in his power. Say that with me. For his glory, under his authority, in his power. Paul has this long ramp as he's preparing to speak to us about family. And this morning we're going to read the part of the text where he transitions to actually deal specifically with family relationships. But what we've seen the last couple of weeks is that before Paul digs into the details, kind of deals with some of the how-to about marriage and family, he wants to establish the proper context. And he reminds us that as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we live for his glory and under his authority and in his power. That's what it means to be a Christian. And Paul is establishing the fact that what is true for you and I as followers of Christ, what is true for us generally in our life in Christ, is also true for us specifically when it comes to our family relationships. At home, as husband and wife and parents, we live for his glory and under his authority and in his power. So we saw 2 weeks ago that the Apostle Paul says, this mystery is great. Nevertheless, I'm talking about Christ and the church. You can remember that 2 weeks ago we saw that Paul teaches us in this great text that from the beginning, God's purpose for marriage is that the relationship between husband and wife would symbolize, would echo, would reflect the relationship between Christ and the church. That the way a Christian husband treats his wife and a Christian wife treats her husband should make the gospel of Jesus Christ easier to believe, easier to understand. And so we are married, we live as family even, for his purpose, for his glory. And last week we saw that we live in marriage and family relationships under his authority. Remember, Jesus is Lord at home. And as Paul begins to talk about marriage and family, he ratchets up the frequency of his references to Jesus Christ as Lord, Lord, Lord. Because it's in the fear of Christ, it's in our deferential reverence to Christ that we learn to live consistently as the husbands, the wives, the parents that he's called us to be. So, for his glory, under his authority, and in His power. Here's something you need to know about family, about being husband or wife, parent, is you can't do it on your own. Even if you knew how, you can't do it on your own. And I want you to see how Paul exposes this in Ephesians chapter 5. Now, we've been reading this whole long passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through chapter 6, verse 4. But I'm going to give you a break this morning. We're just going to read the part of our focus, chapter 5, verse 18, through just the beginning of the household code in verse 22. I want you to see how Paul prepares us to talk about family relationships. Verse 18, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation." That's debauchery. That's a ruinous way of life. "But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." And then he begins verse 22, "Wives, to your own husbands as to the Lord." Do you see how Paul puts his finger on our problem? When we read verse 21, "and be subject to one another," we find Paul touching on a sore spot. He puts his finger on the core of our problem. He exposes us. Be subject to one another. Put the other first. And the reason we resist that statement is because we like to put ourselves first, don't we? You know, you might not know this. Our oldest son and his wife and his 3-year-old daughter and 6-month-old boy are living with us right now between houses. You don't have to teach a child to put herself first. She takes after her mother, clearly. Now, you know what happens in this service stays in this service. No, that was a joke. But we don't have to teach ourselves to put ourselves first. A lot of people come into marriage with this idea of, I'm going to get married and my spouse is going to make me happy. Or I'm going to have children and my children are going to make me happy. Or my parents are responsible to make me happy. And you see the common word? Me, me, me. As if family is about me. But all of a sudden, the Apostle Paul prepares us for his discussion with family life by saying, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Put the other person first. And the reason that exposes us is because of our tendency to live for ourselves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, we find a wonderful New Testament verse in which the Apostle Paul summarizes the impact of the gospel on our lives. And one of the things we learn in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, is a biblical way to understand our sin nature. Look what Paul says, "And he," Jesus, "died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." That's a good memory verse. But do you see how the Apostle Paul teaches us to understand our sin nature? We live for ourselves. The difference that Jesus makes in dealing with our sin is that we might no longer live for ourselves. But sin moves us to live for ourselves. I mentioned a week or two ago that in preparing for this study, one of the books I read was Tim and Karen Keller's book on the meaning of marriage. And Keller has a great section of that book where he talks about what most married couples experience in their first years of marriage. And he says, usually at some point between 3 months and 18 months, a married couple begins to realize 3 things. The first thing is that I begin to realize that the person I married is selfish. And the second thing I realize is that the person I'm married to thinks I'm selfish. And the third thing I realize is that their selfishness is the problem, not my selfishness. You learned the same three things in your first years of marriage, didn't you? And his point being that marriage exposes this tendency that we live for ourselves. And so Paul is confronting this when he says, listen, I'm about to talk to you concerning the relationship of husband and wife and parent and child, but let me make sure you understand that you will not have a capacity to do what I tell you to do if you cannot be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Learning to put each other first. So how can we restrain our self-centered way of life? Well, Paul says, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. We talked about that last week. Under the lordship of Christ. By living in deferential obedience to Jesus Christ as Lord. But he talks about more than that. You see, in our text, not only does he expose our problem, but he speaks to us about the power that Christ gives us. In fact, when you read verse 21, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ, it's important for you to understand that be subject is actually not a main verb. It's not an imperative verb like we translate it. It's not a commandment. It's actually a participle. It's a subordinate. And in fact, there are five participles in verse 18 and 19 and 20 and 21. Speaking, singing, making melody, giving thanks, and being subject to one another. Do you remember your freshman English class when you had to diagram a sentence? I know for some of you that was a long time ago. And on the main line, you put your subject and verb. And then underneath, you put that subordinate clause, those modifiers that related to the main verb. Well, all of Paul's language here about speaking to one another and singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord and giving thanks and being subject to one another, those are all subordinate clauses. And the main verb is be filled with the Holy Spirit. So what Paul is teaching us is that we will never have the capacity to be the husband, the wife, the parent, the child that God calls us to be in Christ Jesus apart from the power of the Holy Spirit within. Be filled with the Spirit, Paul says. And that's a commandment. It's the main thrust of this whole text. It's a plural commandment. So Paul's not talking to a select few. He's talking to every follower in Christ Jesus. And as a commandment, it's not an optional upgrade. It's not something for your Sunday school teacher to do or for your preacher or for maybe a deacon. This is for everybody. It's a plural commandment in a continuous present tense. Keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just a one-time past experience. When we're saved, the Holy Spirit of God lives and dwells and works within us. And this call is to live a daily life, a way of life, in such a way that the Holy Spirit of God controls us. He controls us, the way we think and the way we speak, the way we live. And it's a passive verb. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to keep on, to continuously fill you, control you in your daily life. And Paul teaches us that the byproduct, the result of living a life under the control of the Holy Spirit within, is that we have fellowship with one another in the body of Christ. We're speaking to one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. We have this joyful fellowship with the body of Christ. And another indicator of the Holy Spirit's filling, His controlling your life, is a desire from your heart to worship Him. Singing and making melody from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks. And Paul says, a third indicator of the Holy Spirit controlling your life is that you find this new desire, this new capacity, this new willingness to put the other first. None of this is our natural inclination. Left to her own sinful way, we don't get along with the people around us. We don't have a desire to worship. And we will never put the other first. But Paul says, let me tell you how you know when you are living under the control of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you the indicators of a life lived under the control of the Spirit within, filled with the Spirit. It's a person who has healthy and strong relationships with his brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's a person who is always wanting to worship God from his heart, singing and making melody. There's a song in the heart to the Lord. And this God-given, supernatural capacity, desire, willingness to put the other person first. This is all an indication of being filled with the Holy Spirit, Paul says. And so think again of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, the text that we read earlier. And Christ died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. See, now Paul, here again, we think he's going to talk to us about marriage, but instead, he's going right to the heart of the gospel, isn't he? He's saying, don't forget that Jesus died and rose again so that the life you live in the flesh, you might not no longer live for your own desires, for yourself, but you might live for him. You might lay down your life for the brother and sister around you. Remember the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says this sums up the whole law and the prophets. Here's what God requires of you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You know how. You just can't do it. It's not in you to do that, because you love yourself more than the Lord and more than your neighbor, until Jesus Christ changes you. And his transforming power, the power of his Holy Spirit within, is what gives us the capacity to be the people that God calls us to be. And there is no area of life that more exposes our tendency to be self-centered than marriage and family. And the other side of that coin is there is no arena of life which gives us a better opportunity to display the gospel, the fruit of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit in control of our lives, than these family relationships. And so before Paul tells us how to, he speaks to us about this issue of power. I was sweeping my driveway with a big broom. Don't ask me why I do that. I know they make things to blow that off, but I was sweeping it. I like to sweep it, I guess. Pearl came out, 3-year-old Pearl, my granddaughter, and she wanted to help me. And so I let her put a hand on that big, heavy broom. She reached up here, and what do you think she said? She said, "I can do it by myself." She couldn't. It was too big and tall and heavy for her. Some of you need to come to the realization that you cannot do family on your own. Over and over again, we see the story unfold. Two immature, needy, self-centered people get married, thinking that the other is going to complete me. Christ completes you. Jesus Christ completes you. He is the source of our joy and our strength. He is our purpose. And until we're living our lives for his purpose and under his authority and in his power, it doesn't matter how many marriage books you read. It doesn't matter how much stuff you know. It's Christ in you that makes you the husband, the wife, the parent, the child that He's called you to be. Last Sunday morning after church, one of our good people said, I've really enjoyed these first two marriages, these first two sermons. And you guys are bad. I've really enjoyed these first two sermons, and I'm ready for you to get to the part about marriage. Well, listen, this is the part about marriage. This is the essential foundation for family relationships, for His purpose, the gospel, under His authority, the lordship of Christ, in His power, be filled with the Spirit, controlled with the Spirit in your daily life. Most marriage problems, most parenting problems, most family problems are spiritual problems. Not all of them, but most of them have to do with the purpose for which we're living, the authority under which we're living, the lack of the Holy Spirit's control and sanctifying power in our lives. If I'm living for myself instead of submitting to one another, listen, far too often, even people professing to follow Christ come to church or come to see the pastor, and it's almost as if they want to keep living their life in the same old way, but they're looking for some Jesus tips for marriage. I mean, I don't want to fundamentally change who I am. I just would like Jesus to give me a few pointers. Really, a lot of times it is, I'd like for Jesus to straighten my spouse out or my kids out. Doesn't work that way. Before Paul ever creeps into the practical part, are you living for His purpose? That His gospel might be on display in your life? Are you living under His authority in the fear of Christ? And are you living filled with His Spirit and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because until we're addressing these fundamental aspects of what it means to be a follower of Christ, the rest of the how-to stuff is wasted effort. You know, the last movie that won the Academy Awards for both Best Actor and Best Actress was 20 years ago. It was Jack Nicholson and Helen Hunt in a movie called As Good As It Gets. Nicholson plays this character that has all sorts of problems. He is really messed up, like a lot of us, right? But he falls in love with Helen Hunt's character. And he begins to try to imagine a life with her as husband and wife. And in the kind of the climactic scene of that movie, he looks across the table to her and says, "You make me want to be a better man." And that is, I believe, one of the purposes of marriage and family. That marriage and family expose in us this need to be better men and women. Listen, if I'm going to be the husband God's called me to be, I've got to be a better man. If I'm to be the father, the grandfather God's called me to be, I've got to have His Holy Spirit controlling me. A better man, a better woman, a better person, living for His purpose, under His authority, and in His power. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Father, we thank You for the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died and rose again and lives today as Lord, not only to forgive us of sin, but to give us the Holy Spirit within, who empowers us to be the sons and daughters of God, the people that we've been created and called to be. And Father, we confess to You that the demands of family force us to fall on our knees before Jesus. Jesus, You are Lord. We live for You, for Your glory and purpose. And we need Your Holy Spirit to empower us, to change us, to give us the capacity to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. In our lives, Lord Jesus, and in our families, be glorified. Let's continue just a moment with heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to sing a hymn of response, which is actually a prayer. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. For many of you, the best way to respond to the Word of God this morning is to sing this song from your heart as a prayer. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Breathe on me. I cannot be who you've called me to be apart from your power within. Would you pray that prayer this morning? And in a moment, as we stand together and sing this song as a prayer from our hearts, we'll have a public invitation. And some of you may come forward this morning because you want to join our church. You might want to come and use these front steps as a place of prayer. There are some here this morning who need to come calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. You've been trying to be good, trying to keep the rules, trying to measure up, be the person, the husband, the wife, the parent that God's called you to be. But you realize this morning that you can't. You don't have it in you. You need Jesus Christ not only to forgive you, but to give you the power to be the person He's called you to be. To come within by the power of the Holy Spirit and transform you. This invitation is your chance to come into a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. For His purpose, under His authority, in His power. Let's stand together and sing this hymn. You come with a public response.